Hey everybody, this is your host, LaVie. Welcome to Thrift Therapy, the podcast all about thrift life. Recycling, collecting, DIYing, all the ups and downs, ins and outs of thrifting. So glad you joined me for this thrift adventure. Hey everybody, this is your host, LaVie. Welcome to Thrift Therapy, the podcast all about thrift life. Recycling, collecting, DIYing, all the ups and downs, ins and outs of thrifting. So glad you joined me for this thrift adventure. So obviously I have a new intro. What do you guys think? I've been working with Cody Crabb of the Create Loud podcast, and he composed this music for me. It's an original composition. So thank you so much, Cody. I am enjoying working with it so far. This is the first podcast on which I've used it, but I made a little promo this weekend when you got it to me. I will also be getting some transition music from Cody and look forward to setting up the podcast in segments. I think that's going to make the production easier for me and a little more organized for you, the listener. So the first segment that I will do is the social media and news update. Let me give you all the info you need this week about how Thrift Therapy is doing, what I'm doing, and get you up to speed on that. So first I want to read you guys a couple of reviews. One is a review I got for a thrift box, and it's from Gina Marie. She was telling somebody else about a thrift box. She said, I loved Stitch Fix at first, but it just got worse and worse till I canceled. Now the only box I do is LaVie's thrift box. I love it. It's $30 or $40 a month, depending on which box you get to subscribe to, and you keep everything she sends. It's not the lame-o pay $20 for potentially nothing or have to pay way more to keep the items. It's all yours, and it's all cute, and I will never stop bragging about the $200 purse she sent. Aw, thanks, Gina Marie. That's awesome. That warms my heart. That's what I want people to feel when they get a thrift bag. And I've been working with people through Messenger to make sure that they have the best thrift bag experience. So if we're Facebook friends, you can always send me messages to help me do a better and better job. I appreciate that. If you join the Facebook group, you can send me messages through there as well. And also, if you follow me on Instagram, Thrift Therapy Pod, you can message me through there. And if you sign up through Patreon, you can message me through there. So I'm always looking to communicate with thrift baggers and see if we can get you the penultimate thrift bag, right? So every little feedback gets me closer and closer to the unicorn bag of your life. I want to read you guys an iTunes review that I got by Amber K. Nichols. Love this pod. The host is very informative and providing relevant content when it comes to the thrift life. If you believe in the thrift gods, this podcast is for you. Love listening, and if you are a thrifter, give this one a listen. 5 stars. Thanks, Amber. You're the best, and I love that you know what thrift gods are and that you're assuming, like me, that other thrifters know what thrift gods are, because what are you even doing if you don't know about the thrift gods? So in other news, you guys, I want to tell you a little bit about the rankings. I think I mentioned this a couple episodes ago, so I want to keep you updated every few weeks. I'll tell you how things are going. So I am up a couple spots in Australia in Apple Podcast, but I'm down a couple spots in the US, or I'm holding steady, I think, because actually, no, I'm up. I went from 160 to 156 in the U.S. in the arts section. So thank you guys for all your support. And keep it coming. Tell a friend. Subscribe, rate, review. I love getting written reviews because I like reading them on air. I like hearing from thrifters. It's just so delightful to get to communicate with thrifters. Even if it's a one-way communication, it just warms my heart so much. So thanks for taking the time to write that review, Amber. And if anybody else writes me a review, I'll read it on the air the next time I pod for you guys. So the rankings, you know, I know it's not everything. It's not I guess something I've paid a lot of attention to, but I heard recently that not everybody ranks. So I wanted to give a little gratitude and tell you guys how things are going with that part of the podcast. Now, in other very exciting news and much more personally motivating and thrilling news, I have 4 new Patreon subscribers. I want to welcome Jenny and Danielle, and I want to welcome Cassie, and I want to welcome Caitlin to the ThriftBag subscription. I'm very excited to shop for you guys. I went out this weekend. I'm going to tell you guys all my thrift stories because I went out thrifting 3 different days this weekend. It was epic. So stay tuned because that's another segment I'm going to do is thrift stories, and I'm going to tell you all the loot that I got. But getting these ThriftBaggers, the new subscribers, really motivated me to get out there and get some thrifting done. And then I had another Patreon subscriber sign up just as a supporter of the show, not a thrift bagger, which is much appreciated. I could use all those I could get. I don't have as many of those. So if you like the show, but you don't need any more thrift in your life, you don't want to sign up for a subscription service, that's totally fine. You can just sign up to support the show. I have a $1 level, I have a $3 level, and I have a $5 level that you don't have to be a ThriftBag subscriber for. Thank you so much, Corrine, for joining up as a patron in my mid-tier level that's not a ThriftBag. I really appreciate you. And spread the thrift love, for sure. So I wanted to give you one last little glimpse into what Thrift Therapy's been up to. For anybody who signs up as a Patreon, I'm going to go ahead and extend this into November. For the first 2 weeks of November, if you sign up for any level of Patreon, I'm going to send you a resting thrift face magnet that I put mine on my car. I also made one into a lapel pin, so you can do what you want with it. And a Thrift Therapy jacket button, and a couple stickers. No matter what your level is, you're going to get that. So head on over to Patreon, search for Thrift Therapy, and become a supporter of the show. This is a very labor-intensive project. I didn't realize when I started this podcast how difficult it was to put a podcast together and get it distributed to you guys every 2 weeks now, but I was doing every week up until this moment, so I really had no idea. I was quite naive, and I just want to thank you guys for going on this ride with me. Well, that's enough of the social media stuff. I don't have anything else I'm dying to tell you. Oh, except if you don't want to go through Patreon, I have made ThriftBag subscriptions available from my website, and you can use PayPal. Now, the only level available on PayPal is $40, but you will get at least 4 badass thrifted items shopped just for you. And you can go to my website, which is thrifttherapypod.com, and you can register there. I've been meaning to mention that. I'm glad I just remembered. It's thrifted vinyl time. So I'm going to review for you a record I picked up at one of my thrift hauls this weekend. I went over to my friend Jillian's pop-up vintage vinyl sale, and I picked up this Patsy Cline album for $1-ish. I don't know how much it ended up being because I bought a big pile of things. So I'm going to play a clip of the first song on side one called Stop the World, which I really like. Check it out. Classic Patsy Cline sound, and it sets the mood for the record. It's what you expect from her. And the name of the album that I'm playing for you is Here's Patsy Cline. It's a product of Decca Records, And I will be posting a picture of the cover on my website as I do, which is thrifttherapypod.com. And you can go to the episode pictures section and check out all the pics related to this episode, including the album cover. This has a long list of great songs on it. I will play a couple more clips for you so you can get a taste of side two. And the next clip I'll be playing for you is the first song on side two called I've Loved and Lost Again.
I've loved and lost again. Oh, what a crazy world we're living in. True love has no chance to win. I've loved and lost again. Ask you what chance have I when each love I meet just makes me cry. He loves a while then says goodbye.
So clearly if you're a Patsy Cline fan, definitely get this record. It's nothing new. It's her standard sound that has very reminiscent sounds, as you know, it sounds like After Midnight. That's true. But I do want to play one last clip from the last song on the B-side because I think it sounds a little bit more rock and roll than maybe you're used to from Patsy Cline, maybe reminiscent of Jerry Lee Lewis. So let me close out this final review with this tune. But before I do want to tell you that I would definitely pick up any Patsy Cline album in the thrifting wild because I like her sound. And while she doesn't widely vary in her sound, her voice is just so haunting and has a quality that I really enjoy hearing. So 5 out of 5 Nagels, definitely grab it if you see it. Here's the last song I'll play for you, and it's called Walking Dream.
A walking dream, I dreamed about you. A walking dream, can't do it. Just can't forget you, cause you're so dreamy, pooch and dreamy walking dream. Now keep on walking, keep on talking, and I'll do my best to make the rest of this lovely dream come true. Walking dream, I want you near me.
So now it's time for some thrift stories. I hope you're ready for that. I certainly am. I went out. So I had the day off of work Friday. I went out to run a whole bunch of errands. Now, I have had some ants in my car, which, what the fuck? That is really annoying. I don't know how they got in there. They've been plaguing me for the past 2 weeks. And it started with all this rain that we've been having here in San Antonio. We've been having an unseasonably large amount of rain. It's wet as fuck here. My plants are dying because they have too much water. I mean, it's Texas. I don't know what's happening. Oh, right. Global warming. But whatever. It sucks. So, I go to run some errands to get some bug spray, some little ant traps. I need to wash my car, try to flush those motherfuckers out. And then across the street is the thrift store that's near my house. So I pop in there. And I found some awesome house dresses for a few bucks each. Couple cool sweaters for some thrift bags. But what was really cool was I found some little knickknacks and some purses for the thrift bags that I was really excited about. That was rad. I looked at a jacket I thought about buying, but I didn't get it because people in the Facebook group, look, if you haven't joined our Facebook group, do it. It's Thrift Therapy. Search it, like the page, join the group, because we give feedback to each other on thrift purchases. So I post a picture of this knit bomber jacket that's like 1970, and people were like, yeah, I don't know. They really reflected my own on-the-fence sentiments about it, so it helped me make a decision to not get it. So thanks, you guys. I appreciate that feedback. But I did manage to get some other stuff that was really cool, and I got this really long kimono I'm excited to wear. But I was predominantly out shopping for thrift baggers because, like I said earlier in the show, I have a bunch of new ones. So that was a fun haul. I'll post some pictures of the highlights, the things I got that I think were really special and cool. And then I also went thrifting Saturday because, as I mentioned in the record review, my friend Jillian runs an assets relocation company called Spark, S-P-A-R-C. If you live in the San Antonio area, be sure and follow them on Facebook so you can keep up with their estate sales, which is what they do. They go in and help people sell off whole houses of stuff. Well, because they were on Thrift Therapy in one of the earlier episodes, they booked a gig for a house with a woman who was an Elvis aficionado / obsessed fan. It was awesome. All I can say is I wish I would have known her because she seemed like a rad chick. She had like 5 giant bins of records, and 4 of them were Elvis records, and she archived them and cataloged them and updated, you know, by hand, not in an Excel spreadsheet, by hand in like a bookie's ledger, and kept track of what she thought they were worth and what she thought their listening value was. I mean, what an amazing person. So I went over and bought a mad stack of records, which I'm going to post a picture of on the website so you can see some of my goodies. And I purchased the Patsy Cline record I just reviewed for you there. So I highly recommend following Spark on Facebook. You can keep up with estate sales if you're local. Now, if you're not local, you know, find some local assets relocators and follow them so you can stay up top of estate sales in your area. There's also a good app for estate sales. It's kind of like garage sales, but it's for estate sales. So look that up in the iTunes store or however Android works. I don't know how it works, but you know, so whatever the store is for the Android store, and get yourself an estate sales app. So after I finished up with the pop-up vintage vinyl shop, I went round to the Salvation Army near there, and holy mother load, the thrift gods were smiling. Not only did I find another giant stack of records, that's right, so I got 2 mad stacks of records, I found 4 wooden chairs that made my heart beat faster. And initially, I thought they were sold because it looked like the bottom part of the tag was torn off. So I grabbed the chair with the tag on it. I walked my ass up to the front. And as I was doing this, a guy was looking at the chairs too. And I had my hand on the chair, right? And I was like, are you buying these? And he was like, no, are you? And I was like, yeah, I am. And I grabbed the chair and walked up to the register. And I was like, hey, can you tell me if somebody's buying these? And they were like, nope. And I was like, well, the bottom tag's missing. She's like, that's the Goodwill. She gave me a look, this young girl, cute generation, maybe a millennial. I don't know, maybe younger. But yeah, she gave me a old lady, please look. So that was funny, but I was thrilled that the chairs were not sold. So I did something I rarely do. I parsed my cart right there at the register. And I said, okay, these 4 chairs, okay, I'm flipping through records. You can't see that, but that's what I'm doing. That's what that sound was. And I go, okay, and these records, and this, not this, all of these, and I don't want stuff in this cart. Where do I put it? I very rarely do that. Usually I put everything back meticulously, but I was not letting those chairs get away. My urgency showed up and got me a super thrifty deal because I knew these chairs were worth some money. They were beautifully constructed in great condition, and there were 4. And I'm selling my own dining room chairs on Facebook Marketplace for the same amount of money I got these chairs for, which was just, it just seemed like a Christmas miracle. So, ta-da! Anyway, my total was about $150, which is way more than I typically spend at a thrift store, but I felt like for $80, the chairs were a really good deal. So I get home and I look them up, and holy moly, you guys, those chairs are worth at least $100 a piece. And that's on sale because it's not summer anymore. They're technically patio chairs, and they fold up, they articulate, they lay back, they go forward. They're absolutely gorgeous. They're Vietnamese handmade chairs, and they're all wood. And so basically, I got them for 75% off. Thrilling! Super happy! So I'll post a picture of the chairs on the website because you've got to see them. They're so gorgeous. Last thrift haul I'm going to tell you guys about was today. We went to, myself and the admin of this podcast, went to Dia de los Muertos Death Fest for that down at La Vida, which is in downtown San Antonio, and it was spectacular, but I wore myself out. So I went to sleep, and I woke up this morning, and I was kind of lounging with my eyes closed and going back to sleep, and then I sat up in bed, and I was like, thrift bags, what time is it? And it was 10:30, and I had 30 minutes to get to my stand-in line dollar spot where we all fight for dollar awesome clothes, and I still had 2 thrift bags to finish. So I get up, I throw on some clothes, bake some coffee, get in my car, and I get there right before they open the door. I get the last cart available because you need a cart. You can't do this without a cart. And stacked it up super high and went through everything. And an hour later, walked out with all the thrift bags finished. Spent about $50. Got a gazillion killer items for next month's thrift bags for the people I'm already shopping for. So all in all, it was a really good day. I think I will not post a haul. Oh, you know what? I'll post a picture of the amount of stuff I had in my trunk. So I think I did take a picture of that. I think you'll get a kick out of it. My trunk was full after I went there. It was like 5 bags. Because I stopped at another little thrift store on my way home and found some really cute knickknacks and some rad hand-knit scarves. So, sweet! All in all, epic weekend of thrifting. Almost never go thrifting every day of the weekend. So it was definitely worth telling you about. Every single person I ran into during my thriftathon was amazingly sweet and nice. I talked to a few people about the podcast. I did not have any strange occurrences other than amazing good luck. So thanks, Thrift Gods. Appreciate you. Now it's time for the interview segment of the show. I want to tell you a little bit about the guest I have on today. Her name is Lisa Hunter. She is a costume designer for Theater Tulsa in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Feel free to Google Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Theater Tulsa, to get an idea of what her context is like. But I've been to Oklahoma, and I can tell you, if you're living a thrifty, fabulous life there, you're a rock star. So I was super excited to talk to her. She does a lot of really cool stuff, and I think you guys will get a kick out of the interview because, holy shit, I think it was haunted. I did cut out the first problem, which was like a giant helicopter was flying overhead and freaking her out. I edited that out. I was able to do that. But then there was like a bird that showed up, maybe the raven from Nevermore. And then there was like this ghost door thing going on throughout the interview. And it was just so integrated with voices that I couldn't edit it all out. And actually, it just sounds really haunted. So please excuse the sound distortions that you're going to hear, but the interview is really worth a listen, and it's just in a few parts. Plus, it really added to the Halloween ambiance, I thought, and Lisa agreed, so we decided not to redo the interview and to leave it in. I hope you enjoy it. She's going to give you some costume tips for the holiday season, and if you're a last-minute procrastinator, this is an episode that's going to help you get your shit together tomorrow for Halloween. All right, so I hope if you would join the Facebook group, you would post some pictures of your Halloween outfits so I can live vicariously through you. This past weekend, I didn't put out an episode because I had an impromptu garage sale, getting rid of every single Halloween item and Christmas item and New Year's item and Thanksgiving item I own. I am done with the holidays. So I'm going to count on you guys to let me live through you. All right. Without further rambling for me, here's Lisa.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Lisa?
Hi. Yes. Livy.
Yes. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'm excited to talk to you. Let's see. We have a lot to talk about, I think. You do a lot of fun stuff.
I love what I do, so I love talking about it.
Oh, cool. This will be fun then. So why don't you start by just telling us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I went to school at Stephen F. Austin. It's a small university down in Texas, and I went to school for theater. And in college is where I started working on costuming and working behind the scenes. But I had been thrifting long before that. I am originally from Texas, and that's where all my family is, and especially my mom. And she's my big thrifting hero.
Oh, that's awesome. So you kind of learned it from her initially?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she, as far back as I can remember, she would take us to thrift stores and we would go to garage sales. Like, we would go to so many garage sales, it actually was a problem. My brother and I, we tried to start a revolt with garage sales. So, but as I grew up and learned about, like, loving money a little bit more, I really appreciated the savings that came with thrifting and garage selling.
So it sounds like you weren't that into it initially. What do you think turned you off about it?
Well, when I wasn't into it when I was really little. So like during that 10 and 11, 12 ages when you just want to wear the cool stuff, and all I wanted was to get like a cool Hollister shirt because that was what all the kids at my school were wearing. And she was like, no, how about we go to Goodwill and here's this. You know, we weren't very wealthy. We weren't super poor, but I just didn't appreciate it. And I thought I viewed it very negatively during my younger years. But then I hit high school and it went from being used things to retro or vintage. And that's when I started loving it. And I would try to dress like Avril Lavigne and with like the ties and the t-shirts. And I would just go into Goodwill and buy used ties and vintage tees. And I felt like the coolest kid in the school then.
That's funny. I like how it went from, ew, no, that mom, stop it, to like, I don't need your help, Mom. I've got it. I'm going to the thrift store. Leave me alone. You know?
Oh, totally. Totally.
That's funny. As a mom myself, I'm just like, mm-hmm. That's it. You know, I think like kids don't really understand how money works. So it makes sense that once you understand how money works, you maybe feel differently about the whole thing.
Oh, definitely. I'm actually watching my nieces go through that stage right now where they're like, oh, I don't want to get my things from this store. I want to get it from this really trendy store that everybody else is going to. And I'm like, no, 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 it's fine. Trust me. Just wear this. And it's from this thrift store that I love. You'll be the coolest kid ever. And they just don't understand it.
Yeah, I think once my son, I've tried to teach my son about money since he was like, I don't know, 4 or 5. Like we had a token economy for a bit, you know, when he was little. So, I mean, I've been trying to teach him about fiscal responsibility since he was a kid, but I don't think it really clicked to him until he got a car. Now he got my hand-me-down car, like a shitty car, but he's grateful for it. And now he has to buy gas and so, like, it wasn't until he had to start paying for gas that he really began to understand I think he understood the concept of money before because he had learned it, and he learned that money got you things he wanted, but he didn't really understand how hard money was to get and keep up with to get the things you need. And that, and it was like it all came together for him once he had to start paying for gas. So I don't know. I was really glad then that I'd spent all that time and labor teaching him. But I think you're right. Just like with you, your nieces, my son. I don't know if it was me too. I don't remember. But I've had a job since I was 15. So I feel like I've always understood money. That's probably not true.
I know I still struggle, but it was my first job that I was like, oh, I worked really hard for this money and I don't want it all gone with one purchase. So
that is so rough. I know. What? No, I don't want to pay $100 for a pair of jeans. Fuck you. What do you do now? What's your work now?
I work with Theater Tulsa and I am part of the costuming team. There's two of us and we design and either build, buy, or find seamstresses to build all the costumes for our productions, which we have a show almost one every month. We really are a busy company considering we're a smaller community theater. But so
you put on
a lot of work.
So you put on like a lot of different productions each year. And as the costumer, I mean, how many productions do you think you costume each year?
I think it's 11. I think we do 10 or 11 shows. I'd have to like literally list them all out.
That's a lot.
Because we do children, we have a children's program. So we do 2 to 3 children's shows a year. And then about 7 adult shows that are full-fledged musicals. Like we just finished Newsies, Disney's Newsies. And then we're going right into Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
That's one of my favorites. And the costumes that are amazing.
Oh, yeah. I'm more of the assistant with that one. I've been helping my partner. But we get to bedazzle a lot of, like, denim, which you don't normally get to do. But that's fun.
Not since 1994.
Yeah.
Well, I think that'll be really fun because it's like you're going to be looking for what, like cutoffs and things you can cut up and make little racy outfits out of, fur coats, big wigs,
yes,
like glitter. I mean, it's going to be super fun. Do you thrift for the costumes?
We spend a lot of time thrifting because with the short timelines that we have, if we don't have to take the time to build it from scratch, that's great. It saves us a lot of time if we find a dress or a men's suit or something that works with the time period or works with the theme of the show, and it's already built. We might have to like hem it or add a ruffle here or there, but that's way better than having to build from scratch, time-wise, at least.
I can see that, and I bet that you can find things and alter them as well, and that saves time, too.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's one of the first things we do before we, unless we've designed something specifically to be built, we first go thrifting to see what all is out there that we can use for the show. I guess technically the first thing we do is we go through our inventory. But then the next thing is we go thrifting to see what is out there just ready to go or ready to be altered in a minor way. And then we go to the fabric store to find what we need, the rest of what we need to build.
I love that for a couple of reasons. Number one, thrifting is fun. It's way more fun than sewing.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, it's very eco-friendly. Episode 22 of Thrift Therapy, I believe, is all about fashion sustainability.
and how toxic the fashion industry is in terms of social and ecological contributions. It does have a lot of negative contributions that it makes to society, along with some of the benefits. But I love that you would look at what you have first, very eco-friendly, very socially conscious as well. And then you go thrifting as a second, and then you maybe create something new. And that's a good order. I think I do the same thing just in my own closet, even though, I mean, technically I don't need a costume, but nobody's really told me that, I guess.
Everybody could use a costume or two, I think, but I am a costumer.
Well, I feel like some of my outfits are like costumes because I feel different when I wear different things.
Exactly. I have so many like almost, I don't want to call it themed looks, but they're kind of themed looks that I just really like. It makes me feel more confident when I'm wearing this, or if I'm tired, I can wear this and this helps me feel better. And to me, like, I definitely see my own personal wardrobe as a bit of a costuming moment. And I don't mean it in an extravagant, crazy way, but, like, a floral shirt might mean something to me one day, but then teaming it with a totally different outfit gives me a different feeling. And it's not like becoming a different character, but it just helps my mood. I definitely express myself through clothes, so it... I don't know. Maybe it's the costuming affecting my life now.
No, I get what you're saying. I've had a few guests on who say that. One that comes to mind is July. And her and I talked about how we never like to wear the same outfit twice exactly the same way. It's just like, ugh, no, bored, done, moving on. So it's like a challenge. You know, I'm not throwing out everything I wear. So it's more like what I mean is, I'm just going to wear it a different way. I'm not going to wear it the same way I was. And I like what July said. I was already that person. I don't want to be that person again. And I was like, yep, that's right. I want to be a different version of myself today. So the clothes, I was just telling one of my clients that I send thrift bags to, the clothes don't define us. We define them. I tell my clothes what to do. That's why I don't ever wear the same outfit twice, is because I'm telling them what they're going to do for me. I direct them.
Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh. It makes me feel a lot better about not the fact that I don't really wear the same outfit over and over again. I try to team it differently. I always feel like I'm being extravagant, but no, I love that way of thinking about it.
Well, because I'm an existentialist, what I would say to you is life is dumb and hard and it doesn't care about you. So why not be extravagant? Who cares?
Yeah. And nobody does. Only I do. I'm the only person that gets into my own head and convinces myself that that matters in some silly way. But it doesn't. It doesn't matter at all.
It really doesn't. And that's just, I think those are just our self-criticisms, our anxieties, our worries about belongingness. And as I've gotten older, I found that most of those thoughts are really unfounded. And they're just based on a few examples of social rejection that I've experienced. And the majority of my life has been quite accepting it, but those few moments where it wasn't, just really I sort of overused those as references, if you will.
Oh, my therapist is going through that whole thing with me, like teaching me how to like redirect my thoughts from those few negative things that repeat themselves in my mind. She's like, you've got to stop that from happening, like get out of that loop and redirect your mind. And I've been like really practicing that here recently, and it's I didn't even think about how it probably affects the way I view my clothes.
Yeah, I mean, I think we would have a lot more fun if we didn't have those bullshit voices in our head, you know what I mean?
Oh, I would pay to get I do pay to get rid of them.
I love it. Good point. I'm a therapist, so I really appreciate that comment. So I want to go back to something. I was thinking about 11-ish shows in your calendar year. That is so many different looks that you're working with. And maybe not, I mean, not just looks, but probably also themes, you know, like, what do you think some of your favorite costume themes have been as a costumer?
I absolutely love Victorian lines and Victorian gowns. As part of the costuming team, I focus a little more on the women's wear, and my partner does focus a little more on the men's wear. We both definitely collaborate, but I really find myself drawn to like dresses and gowns and all that fun stuff. And so Victorian lines with the high neck lines and the stiff fabrics, but they still have a lot of movement to them. I adored that. And then the Gibson girl hair. So it's not Victorian, it's Edwardian technically.
Mm.
That turn of the century, so not the big hoop skirts, but the time period right after that.
Oh, right on. Yeah, I can't imagine wearing all those corseted things with hoop skirts all the time. Like, oh my God, I feel like I would probably, I think that's when I would lose contact with reality and create, like ripping off my clothes, you know, like burn everything.
I have been informed, and I also have done acting, so I've worn corsets before, and it definitely is a great like character motivation and changes your character a little bit when you are used to being loose and free with your body as a woman today, a bit more than back in 1901 when they were so constricted and high-collared and all that stuff.
Oh, dear me. Yeah, it seems like fashion jail, like clothing jail. Like, you don't even have to have jails. You just put people in corsets and hoop skirts, and that's it. You're done. Punished.
Oh, yeah. It, like, wearing it is one thing, but looking at it as a customer, I'm like, I know you're uncomfortable, but you look so beautiful right now.
True, true, true. Like, I can appreciate it like maybe a bronze sculpture, but I also would not want to be a bronze sculpture. I think that turn of the century where maybe they got rid of the extra wiring and pared down it was still voluminous and lots of fabric, right? But there weren't hoops under this.
It was
the jail was gone, and then you just wore the clothing without the jail. Like, you're free. Yeah. You're free.
Yes.
I like the bloomers from that era a lot. They're very hard to find, but
whenever we need bloomers, I know I have to build those.
I really think someone should put out an affordable line of retro underwear, because I'll tell you this, I don't think modern underwear is really much better.
It isn't really. So historically they wore like very loose. They didn't wear our panties, they wore like loose fitting, almost like boxers more.
Love that.
Only longer. But so like the comfort of wearing boxers only for women. And yeah, I loved that so much.
In the 70s, late 70s, early 80s is my favorite fashion era. And during that time, women did wear the most fabulously comfortable undergarments. First of all, bras weren't super popular at that time. That was like, you know, after the bra burning revolution. So we weren't quite as demanded to wear a bra. And but the underwear were like tap pants. Do you know what tap pants are?
Yes, yes.
They're perfect. Tap pants are the perfect undergarment. I love them so much.
Yeah. I would create a line of those if I had time. To like more comfortable undergarments would be my line of clothing. They weren't going to necessarily be the prettiest pair of undies, but they are, by golly, they're going to be so comfortable.
I think they can still be pretty. And I think about the 20s are probably my favorite undergarments. They're so gorgeous. And they're like all made of silk, and they have beautiful lace trim. And it's basically tap pants, but a little bit longer. And the bras are really nice, because that was also an era where people weren't super into bras.
Real
structured ones.
Oh, I did. We did cabaret. That was actually my first show to costume with Theater Tulsa. And so the Kit Kat girls were all in underwear from the 20s, pretty much. And I also got to be in that show. So I was like, this is going to be comfortable and cute and look great on stage. And researching all those undergarments was amazing and inspiring. And I definitely have new underwear in my drawer now because of that research.
I'm kind of jealous right now, but that brings me to something I did want to ask you about. I am a large, size large, and also sometimes a size extra large. And I wonder what you as a costumer do when you have plus size men and women and gender fluid people performing in roles. How do you handle that?
We fortunately, like, we do cast women and men of all sizes, and we're doing Hedwig right now. So we have a young man that is dressing as a woman. And so really it's about getting the measurements. And so looking at the true measurement numbers rather than looking at the small, medium, and large, because you'll be a little surprised with how many things number-wise actually can work for the larger body types. And then, of course, I would rather buy big and then take it in and cater it to your figure, because then I know it's going to flatter you, and I'm not going to be putting you in something that looks like a tent.
I like that answer. I was hoping you would impress me, because...
Okay. Good.
I'm not trying to be, you know, like the plus size police or anything, but I just want more people to be thoughtful about body types and that you shouldn't have. I remember a movie I watched a while ago with Meryl Streep in it. Of course, she's fabulous. And Shirley MacLaine is in it as well. She's a stage performer. And, it's called like Postcards from the Edge. Do you know that movie?
I don't.
Well, it's a good one. It's about mother-daughter conflict, so it's pretty interesting. And Meryl is her usual astonishing self, but she plays an actress who is playing a cop on a show, and the costumer is constantly irritated with her because she keeps putting on weight. And I always think about that and the shame that she's feeling and her mother's bothering her about it. And it's just, oh, it's the worst. And my son is a stage actor, and he's portly at this point. And he like me, he varies in his sizes. So this summer, he's a little bit bigger than he was last summer and so on, right? So, and he's really affected. When he auditions for roles, he feels something about his size, you know? And I think, what a bummer that you can't just be like, I nailed that audition. You know what I mean?
Oh, I completely understand. And we, as a costumer, I encourage all my actors to let me know when they're not comfortable. And there's going to be, as an actor, there are going to be some sacrifices, but as long as the role allows it, I want my actor to walk on stage and just focus on what they need to do, not, okay, I feel like my boobs don't look really good because they're smushed, or, you know, these pants aren't hugging my hips in the right way. And so it's my job as a costumer to take away all those worries from my actor so that they can focus on their job, whether it be singing, dancing, or performing a monologue. And then that costume will only help them do it to the best of their ability. And that's my 100% firm belief on that. And anybody that body shames or makes an actor feel like this job is harder because of the way they look, I have no patience for that.
Yeah, it's such a bullshit way to behave. You know, like, you have this job that you probably really want, first of all. So act like you want it. So when you need to do the job, go do it. Don't blame other people for having to work harder.
No, and it's not even that much harder work. Like, no matter what size, there's going to be something. There's very rarely you're going to put something on an actor and it's just going to fit perfectly. I think I can count on one hand the number of times I've done that. And so no matter the size, you have to put work into what you're putting on the stage. And so why make it seem like it's a bigger deal for a person of plus sizes versus somebody of, like, you know, single digit sizes or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. Good. Well said. I like that. I feel like body positivity is probably one of my big focuses as a fashionista myself and as a therapist as well. I feel like so many people, not just women, but particularly women, have been really damaged by the way that people view their bodies. And I think we could still enjoy looking at people and enjoying what they are presenting without critiquing their bodies. You know, I'm not saying don't look at people, don't have a preference for what you're looking at. That seems extreme. I'm saying don't see people's bodies as something that's up to them all the time and let them just have the body they have. Like, leave them alone about that. Maybe enjoy their style, or maybe think about if you're attracted to them. Fine, whatever.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know,
there's so much more to a person than the silhouette they create, you know?
I mean, geez, right? So, and I think because I like fashion so much as a way to express myself, and it sounds like you do too, I don't mind people looking at me, and I don't mind them even evaluating my style. But I'm like, first of all, make sure that's what you're looking at. Don't critique my body, because that's not up to me all the time. And I don't think it's a fair way to evaluate people. One of my son's teachers recently sent home a very strange, we're joined by like a bird or something, I think.
Oh, sorry.
One of my son's teachers sent home a very strange exercise that I'm still a little perplexed about. Ask your friends and family and your peers what movie star or what film role or what stage role do you most look like?
What?
What do you think about that?
You look like, that is, so as an actress, I do have to know my type, you know, my quote unquote type. I know that I can play a teenager to a 30-year-old, but like, I don't really know what to do with that. And
my hope is that he misinterpreted the assignment.
I feel like you would much rather find out what who your actor relates to or is inspired by, not feels like they look like.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm wondering if maybe it was what actor or what roles do your friends and family think you would maybe pattern after by your own choice? Fine. Yeah. But
yeah,
asking me to project onto my child who I think they look like and what kind of roles they should have, like for me to typecast my child, you know what? No. I think that's, and plus I'm thinking this is high school, and I'm thinking, that sounds like a can of worms, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. So that's been on my mind. So I'm glad that we were able to talk about that a little bit. Since you're a costumer, maybe give us all some really good tips for putting together a Halloween costume from thrifted stuff.
Huh. Okay. Well, I always go to my thrift stores with like an open mind, like a vision, but being flexible in that vision so that I can A, not just spend an hour looking for this one type of shirt. I can go, I need a shirt with ruffles, and then maybe I find one that is a different color than initially sketched out, but it'll work perfectly. Because, I mean, you are kind of going to deal with, like, hit or miss with, like, your size or the color or the exact style you're looking for. So the flexibility is paramount, but, like, get your vision. And I try to keep my visions pretty broad. So, like, if I'm doing a witch, I'm like, I'm going to be a witch. And then as I get into the store, I let the store speak to me. And so then it'll let me know what kind of witch I'm going to be. Am I going to be an all black witch, or am I going to be a witch from, like, a different time period? Because this store has all this great, like, time period costume. Or am I going to be, like, a sexy witch? So that's probably my biggest advice, because that's what I always try to do myself when I'm looking for shows.
So you mentioned something about sketching. Do you sketch out ideas before you go shopping for costumes?
Oh yeah, I usually sketch out about two looks per character. That way I can go in a couple of different directions. And then for characters, I like to create a color palette, so that also can, I won't be, when I'm in a time crunch, I can just go straight to those colors, because a lot of the thrift shops I go to are color coordinated, which is very nice. And so I can just go straight to that color and, like, hopefully find what I'm looking for.
Oh, I like that. So you maybe get put together, like, a mood board, a kind of sketch of the looks you're interested in. For those of us who don't draw, can you give us some alternate ways to maybe do that?
If you're not a sketch artist, you can always go onto Pinterest or onto Google Images and, like, Google search images of the person or the creature you're wanting to do, and then put those images on, like, a word sheet and print them out. So then you've got the inspiration in your hand or on your phone, because, I mean, Pinterest is on your phone. You can create, like, a little Pinterest board of it. And that way you've got, like, your visual cues of, like, oh, no, this is great. This looks like this picture that I love.
Oh, that's a good idea. I like that. I used to use Polyvore before they shut down, and I recently, a photographer friend of mine asked me to come up with a couple of mood boards for some photo shoots she's going to be doing. And so I thought, I really need a replacement for Polyvore. And so I started looking, and I found one that I kind of like, but I can't remember the name of it. Do you have any things like that you use? Let me see.
I used to use Polyvore so much, and I have not found anything to replace it. So if you think of the one you're thinking of, I would love to know it.
Well, hold on just a second. I'm going to find it. I just started using it last week. It's called Fashmates. So it's www.fashmates.com. And there's another one called Shop Look. Those two, I've tried both. And I think I'll probably talk about this at the beginning of this episode. So I'll have some definite answers by then. One of them I liked and one of them I didn't like. I think it was Fashmates that I ended up sticking with. But that's at home and I'm at my office. So I'll definitely go back and edit this in to the beginning of the podcast when we chat. But so be sure to listen to your episode, and I'll definitely have that. But I think the one I'm using is Fashmates, because I find it so helpful, because it has, like, a bank of images that you can use that are actually available for purchase if you can't find something thrifting. And so from that, you can build a lot of looks right? And then what I do is take the look that I built from current stuff, and then I go to the thrift store. Now, I do this whether or not it's Halloween sometimes if I want to pull off a particular look. But I think it's especially important for the holiday season to have something like that available.
Oh, yeah. I use stuff like that for, I mean, events and theater. We do charity or fundraising events, I mean. And so I use stuff like that for my own personal enjoyment so that, again, I can, like, create this vision and then walk into a store knowing what I'd like to find.
Well, I have one last question for you before we do the thrift level questions. What, if any, types of costumes do you recommend we stay away from at this point in time?
There are certain, like those packaged costumes that are great for, you know, if you're wanting to be that pirate or that witch that is in the package, but that material can sometimes be a little tricky to sew, I have found, because I've tried it. And it's cheaper, it's cheaply made, so it's a little hard to control.
Oh, okay.
But anything, I guess it depends on, if you're wanting to alter something, anything with a lot of crinoline, unless you are advanced in your sewing skills, I would stay away from the crinoline and the stiff satin from the 80s, because from my experience, it's not the funnest thing.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. I mean, satin just in general can be real tricky. If you make one mistake, done.
Oh, yeah.
I used to watch Project Runway. I don't even know what channel it's on anymore, but I usually watch it after it comes out now. So everybody else is already done with it and moved on because I don't pay for cable anymore. And but I learned a lot about that was kind of spooky.
Sorry.
What was that?
I had to come inside because it started raining.
Oh, that's funny. That was so creepy.
Yeah, the creepiest door. Sorry about that. It'll be good for Halloween, right?
Right? Totally. I was like, ooh, haunted things. Yeah, I think that's a good tip about fabric choice. And those packaged ones, I have a couple criticisms about them. One is you're going to run into people who are just dressed exactly like you. How lame. I mean, no judging, but that's not an experience I'm looking for. And so lame for me, not for you, but lame for me. I don't like the idea that there could be seven sexy pirates wearing the exact same thing at a party that I go to. So no thanks. But if that's your thing, that's cool. But that's my number one criticism. Number two, that fabric that's really bad is also really itchy and sweaty.
Oh, yeah. It is completely, like I said, it is cheaply made because they mass produce it. And so as like a person that works with material regularly, I do not like those costumes very much.
Me either. And then the third thing I would say is that they tend to make a lot of those costumes that I think would be considered possibly culturally appropriative. So probably should be socially conscious, listeners, if you're going to buy something like that. Like, look, if you're not Native American, please don't dress up like a sexy Indian, okay? Like,
no, please don't. In.
But just because they sell it doesn't mean you should buy it. So, you know, I'm not going to lecture, but I think we've learned a lot in the past decade about how to be respectful and boundary. Thanks to social media, we're getting a lot of exposure to cultural norms within cultures. I think we should be respectful of that on Halloween, too. It's not like a free-for-all. You know? Well, good. That was a fun talk. Let's do the thrift questions now. So the way this works is I'm going to ask you some, I'm trying to get better at doing this in kind of a rapid fire way. And then you just answer them and take your time, answer them how you want. Okay. So I'm going to start with.
Okay.
Okay. How often?
Usually once a week. During shows, it is more like 2 or 3 times a week.
Ooh, that's a lot. You're pretty much an expert level for number one. What about a list or spontaneous?
I have a wish list, like in my journal. I keep a wish list of things I love. But if I see something I love, I get it. So I don't deny myself.
So both. All right. I think that's expert level is both. What about thrift gods? Do you believe in thrift gods?
Oh, 100%. And I think they love my mother in particularly because I have never encountered somebody that can walk into a store, be it thrift or not, and find literally the best deals of all time. Like a full gown for $2. And I'm like, how did you do that?
I love it. I should have her on the show.
She would have a lot of opinions.
Good. You tell her to email me. Alone or with friends?
Usually alone so that I can shop at my own pace. But again, for costuming. And with my mom, for sure. And then my costuming partner when we're doing shows.
Oh, that's cool. So you kind of do both. Mm-hmm. Best or worst thrift moment?
Best had to be actually, it's probably the best because it's the most recent thing in my mind, but I just found these super amazing cowboy boots when I went home to visit. Again, my mom took me to a thrift store and that I've been wanting a pair of like flashy, silly looking cowboy boots. And these are black with like gold and silver metallic. I put them up on the Facebook page that I met you through. And but they're like, they've got metallic flashes through them. And I'm wearing the snot out of them because they're comfortable and super, super cute.
I mean, seriously, this episode is haunted. That's what's happening. So, yeah, I think I remember those boots. You should send me a picture of them. And if you have a picture of you in your Avril Lavigne-esque days, that would be really fun, too.
Oh, my gosh.
I would love that. And then if you have maybe a picture, or if you don't want to do that, a picture of the theater or something, just, you know, something personalized so that you can send us so I can post it for the listeners so they can get a sense of you and who you are and what you do. However okay. personally you want to be is up to you, but that would be really fun. I would love to post those when the episode comes out.
Okay, great.
Well, thank you so much for coming on Thrift Therapy. I had a good time talking with you.
Oh, this has been so fun.
I'll see you online.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was fun. Thanks to Lisa for coming on. I always have such a great time interviewing thrifters. Thrifters are, in my experience, really great people. And I'm so happy to be doing this podcast and interacting with so many people from around the United States and indeed around the world. It's pretty cool. If you have someone you want to nominate to be on the podcast, you can send me an email at thrifttherapypod@gmail.com. I do read those emails and I do reach back out to you. Also, if you haven't, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast through Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, any SoundCloud, any of the major podcatchers, and of course iTunes is the primary way that I get rated and ranked, and I appreciate all the help I can get. If you're interested in the thrift bag, visit my website, thrifttherapypod.com. And it has all things thrift therapy there. It's like the hub of thrift therapy related stuff. And you can grab yourself a thrift bag, or if you want to give one to a friend for the holidays, it'd be a good gift, right? The only thing is they'll have to fill out the survey, so you'll have to figure some sneaky way to get them to do that. I have been doing this podcast for 6 months now, which is pretty exciting. And the words of Larry David is pretty good. So I am looking forward to another 6 months, and I think I've got some really exciting things in store for you guys and for myself, quite frankly. This is still very fun for me. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend, and I appreciate each and every one of you. I'm going to sign off for tonight, and I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Stay thrifty, everybody.